Hi, today is October 14, 2017. This is Comic News Podcast number 93. I'm Todd Gossard, my good friend Jay Stone. And this podcast, we're just going to kind of do a quick roundup of our initial impressions of this season's DC Comics-based TV shows, fall 2017. And I haven't seen anything, and I shouldn't say anything, I haven't seen everything. I think Jay has seen more than I have, and there's a couple that he watches that I don't, and there's one that, or I should say there's one he watches that I don't, and I think there's one that I watch that he doesn't, so... well, we'll start with the Arrowverse, but we won't start with the Arrow because I didn't see that one yet. So, Jay, The Flash, did you see that one?
Yes, I did.
And thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up, but also contrived. But yeah. It was good. Yeah. I liked it.
My problem with The Flash, Flash's first episode for the season, what are they on now, season four? I think so.
I don't know. Season four is it season five?
Yeah, I think so.
How many villains have they had?
I don't know. But
maybe it is four.
My major complaint about the episode is that they brought the Flash back too soon. I think it would have been okay to bring him back, in episode two or three, and you can still see Barry in the Speed Force trying to figure things out in the first couple of episodes, but... I don't know. What do you think about that?
I actually thought it was good that they brought him back, but I think that the resolution was too quick. I think they should have drawn it out for a few more episodes.
Right. The same. So same idea, right? That not bring him back into the universe so quickly.
No. I was fine with him coming back, but I wanted him to be how he was. He was, spoiler people, he was kind of crazy.
Oh.
You know, he was like disturbed, right?
So I. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Carry through.
Yeah.
Actually, when I first saw him come back, I went, oh, no, that's not so good. But then when he was kind of not talking right and he was writing all that special language.
All the symbols,
All the symbols. I thought that it would have been better for it to have been drawn out for a few episodes. But they could also write those that they could come back to the symbology that he was writing. And eventually he might figure out what that was. But I thought they should have drawn that part out.
Yeah, so there's two problems with the symbols, I thought. One is that it was too reminiscent of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, you know, there was the whole symbol writing thing in season two or three. I can't remember anymore.
I don't even remember that part. I guess, I don't know. There's so many episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just don't remember.
Well, you didn't watch most of them, so I think.
Well, no, I've seen all of them, but I just don't remember a lot of them.
But there was a whole sequence where Coulson... was writing
these
symbols.
Oh, that's right. He goes a little back. He does like alien language or something, right?
Right. Well, it's inhuman language.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I thought, well, that was kind of a copycat thing, right?
And I thought it looked too much like Kryptonian.
Boy,
although it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I thought it looked too Kryptonian-like. So I was looking at it and I was thinking, are they trying to make it look like Kryptonian? And is he getting something from like Supergirl's universe?
Oh, now that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, that would be interesting. So at first I thought it would have been cool if they did make it Kryptonian.
Because
there are no Kryptonians in his universe.
Right.
So how is that possible?
Right.
That would have been much...
Well, he was in the Speed Force, so technically he wasn't in his universe, right?
No, but meaning like the Arrowverse doesn't have Kryptonian. That's what I mean.
Right.
But, right, so... If he's in the Speed Force, yeah, I agree. He has access to like other, other realities, right?
Right. Actually, not maybe, probably, right? Because we know that there are other Flashes in other universes,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the Jay Garrick Flash,
right?
Which accesses the Speed Force. So, yeah, the Speed Force must crowd across the multiverse,
right? And I thought that would have been interesting.
Yeah. Although we don't know of any Speed Force, or do we? Are there any Speed Force powered people in Supergirl?
No, but he was able to travel through the dimensions.
That's true.
So, I mean, part of the Speed Force, his ability is to cross the dimensions, right?
To
go to different universes.
Right.
So, even if there's no speedster there, right, I can see how he could get access to things.
Right.
But did you catch the guy at the end?
Did Did I catch the guy at the end? Maybe I didn't.
The villain at the end? You didn't notice who that guy was at the end?
I'm trying to remember now.
Big chair?
Hmm?
He's in a big chair that floats.
Oh, Mobius.
He's in a Mobius chair, yeah, Metron.
Yeah. But it's not Mobius, right? It's the Thinker.
No. That's the Mobius chair.
Right.
And he's Metron. He's a new god.
Oh, I thought that was the Thinker. No?
No. That's Metron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Metron. So they introduced a new god. So the part where he comes back and he regains his senses and everything too quickly, right. Didn't care for that. But when they showed at the end who was really behind it all, and it ends up being Metron, then I went, no, that's interesting.
Actually, I didn't think that was Metron.
I know, because he looked weird, right?
Yeah.
He didn't look right.
I thought it was one of the other DC, you know, like Tommy Tomorrow, one of those kind of guys. Not Tommy Tomorrow, that was... but any rate.
Yeah, to me, I thought that was clearly Metron because he was in this big chair that floats, he turns around, and he's covered from head to toe with something except for right around his head.
Yeah. We'll see.
So it makes me think that that Barry is not writing Kryptonian.
Mm.
Now it makes me think he's writing Apocalyptic.
Hmm.
Genesis.
Hmm.
Because now they're introducing a new god into the storyline.
Right. Well, it will be interesting to see what happens. Okay, so let's see. Next up, Supergirl. You see that one?
No, I haven't seen that one. So, but it's okay. You can tell me about it.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with
that. No spoilers, but I thought it was a little too whiny. And
Supergirl is kind of whiny. She kind of plays her whiny. Melissa Benoist, she plays her kind of whiny. She has been ever since the first season.
I guess so, but this episode to me seemed extra whiny and unnecessarily whiny. Too much drama. How about that way?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a little too much drama. And this is a spoiler, but Cat Grant has a cameo.
Oh, cool.
And it's a fun cameo. I think you will really enjoy it when you see it.
Well, they said even though Calista Flockhart left, that she would come back from time to time. They left that open.
Right.
That they would bring her back every once in a while, which I think is fine. I think that's great.
I think the way they brought her back makes a lot of sense and will allow her to be on the show more frequently.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So no more spoilers, but I think I'll let you watch it and be surprised, I hope. Or maybe not surprised, but enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Okay.
I thought, like I said, I thought Supergirl was way too whiny. Mm-hmm. I think they should bring back the Superman character for a couple of episodes. Just to tighten it up.
But was he on like 3 or 4 episodes?
About three or four episodes.
And I thought he really injected... I didn't have high hopes for that actor, to be honest.
Me too.
Because he didn't look like Superman, but Dean Cain didn't look like Superman either. But, I mean, he did a good job. He did a good Clark Kent. He did a good Superman. I agree with you. I think they should bring him back for a few episodes.
I agree. The actor did a Tyler Hoechlin, I think is his name, or something like that. And I thought he did more than a credible job. I think he did a good job. I really enjoyed his portrayal of, like you said, of both Clark Kent and Superman. And I really hope to bring him back because, you know, one of the nice things about Clark Kent... at least the way he played it and the way it was portrayed in Lois and Clark, when Dean Cain was there, is he was a very likable person as Clark Kent.
Right? Yeah, you could believe that he's not Superman.
Right.
But he wasn't like a dweeb or something, or someone who was like an outcast.
Right. And as much as I enjoyed Smallville, I thought... Clark Kent was, you know, it was done really well, but it wasn't the Clark Kent that I remember from, you know, Superboy and Superman. So that was the only thing. But I thought that both Dean Cain and Tyler's Clark Kent and Superman were really nice, really nicely done, and brought kind of an old school feel to superheroes when he was on Supergirl.
Well, you know, Lois and Clark was a really good show for the years that it was on.
Oh, absolutely. I really enjoyed it.
And actually, my wife used to watch it with me.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that.
because it was, you know, it had that romance to it, you know?
Yeah.
And because Lois was such a big, a very prominent character in the show, and then there was that love triangle, and then that love interest, and they got married.
Yeah.
So she actually really enjoyed it because it played off that relationship.
Right. Okay, so thumbs up, thumbs down. Oh, I should say, you haven't seen it yet. I'll give it a half thumb. Sideways thumb.
Did we have a thumbs up? Did we both have a thumbs up for Flash?
Yep, we both had a thumbs up for Flash, even though I have my reservations about, well, a lot was done. I thought they should have let Kid Flash shine a little bit more. And
I agree.
You know.
I agree.
And maybe even bring back Jay Garrick from Earth whatever. To, you know, help find the Flash or something.
He's like Earth 4 or something.
Something like that, yeah. Okay, I haven't seen Legends of Tomorrow. I think you just watched it. I am going to watch it, but you can say whatever you will like about it.
It's a thumbs up for me.
Oh, good.
It's like all the shows that we've talked about, there are some things that are contrived to keep the story moving along and plot moving along, and some things are too easily resolved, or, you know, I mean, it's a TV show, but
right.
I don't know, like I said before, Legends is like one of my favorite shows, and I love it just because it's so wacky. I mean, all the characters are so, like, from all these different backgrounds, they don't really make sense together. But they play off one another really well. I think the ensemble works really well. And then the having the time travel aspect, and then having that, you know, it's like, because maybe it's because of what the characters are.
Yeah.
They don't really care. And they just throw whatever. It's like, what weird thing can we throw into a show that can't fit into any other show?
Right.
And I don't know, that's what I like about the show. And I really like Heatwave. He's become one of my favorite characters. I mean, I've seen it, Dominic Purcell. I like some of his other I've seen him in other shows, like Prison Break.
Prison Break, yeah.
And some other movies, you know, but he's actually really good. He's good comic relief, but he can be dramatic, too, and serious.
Right.
You know?
And the character is very surprising. Heatwave's, to me.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he starts off as a villain, and he still has some larceny in his heart.
Yeah.
But he can't help but like the guy.
And you know what? That makes sense for a Flash rogue.
Yes.
Because the rogues are not supposed to be like jokers, right?
Right.
They're not supposed to be like Lex Luthor's.
Right.
They're basically just criminals who are trying to make a... It's like a criminal who just has a job.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to make his... You know, he's just trying to get to the next day, pay his bills... You know, get a score here or there, enjoy their life. They're not trying to, like, totally destroy the world or take anything over.
Right.
And that's what's the appeal of the rogues, you know. And they don't, like, just outright kill people.
Right.
You know, they have a code. You know. And that's... I don't know if they wrote him specifically to be that way, or they just toned him down because, you know, it's a TV show, but...
Well, he wasn't like that in the comics. Like that.
No.
You know?
He wasn't.
I mean, I didn't think he was a likable character in the comics. He was just a villain.
He was.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, Legends of Tomorrow, what they really remind me of, now that I think about it, is they kind of remind me of the Legion of Substitute Heroes.
Yes! You are correct. They are the Legion of Substitute Heroes. And you know, it's the only one of the shows that has that much humor.
Boy, you're right. I mean, there's a little bit of humor in The Flash and Supergirl, but you're right.
But like last season, Flash was super dark.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, I'm in Star City and this is Arrow.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you getting so dark? You know, Supergirl is lighter, but there's not actually that much humor in it. But Legends, there's a lot of humor.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, I didn't watch Legends when it first came out. And I remember you liked it so much when it hit Netflix. I watched the whole first season. And I liked it. I kind of, you know, I didn't quite binge watch it, but, you know, I watched it without commercials, which I think helped.
Yeah.
And then I watched the whole second season, and now I'm also on Netflix, I think. And now I'm waiting for season... Well, I've got it DVR'd, but I haven't watched it yet.
It's an interesting episode. One thing I thought was good about all the DC shows that I've seen so far, I thought the endings had something that I was like, I went to each one at it, and I went, at least a whoa. Maybe not a big whoa.
Right.
I mean, Metron was the biggest whoa for me.
Okay.
But the other ones were like,
okay,
I'm pretty sure it is. Because
okay.
You're right, he doesn't reveal the name, but I'm pretty sure it is. And then, but every show was like, whoa. You know, sometimes the Arrowverse gets a little predictable.
Yeah.
But then it was like, yeah, this was, you know, they have to get to the next episode, but it was like, well, I didn't expect that. I said, oh, so what's happened? Okay. And then, okay, I could see that. But then it was like, oh, a little bit of surprise here or there, which I thought was like one of the best things in the first like two seasons of Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, anyone can die.
Yeah, that's true. And they do.
And it's like, whoa. When they killed off the mom, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was surprising.
I was like, wow. They don't pull punches.
Right. Okay, moving on to the last of the Arrowverse, which I have not seen, is Arrow itself. And I think you were watching it just before the podcast?
Yes. It is good.
It is? Okay.
I liked it a lot. I don't want to overhype it, but I liked it a lot. I liked it because it's following what is in the comic in some way.
Oh.
And I think it's better than last year.
Oh.
I had a hard time watching through last year. I didn't like the whole Adrian Chase.
I have to agree with you.
Prometheus thing. I just didn't care for it. I just thought that was wrong.
Yeah.
I preferred the Damian Dark year than I did to the Adrian Chase year, and they never really resolve Vigilante.
Yeah,
because the problem is that Adrian Chase is Vigilante,
right,
in the comic, and so that was like, that just like really like was screwing me up, because I was like, what? But they made him Prometheus, and that's not even who Prometheus is supposed to be, you know, in the comic,
right?
I mean, he's totally different, and that's the part I didn't care for. He actually looked more like his Adrian Chase's costume looked more like it was modeled after there's a villain in the New 52 Green Arrow series that looks just like that.
Oh, really?
And I forget the guy's name. I don't know if it's Komodo. Oh, yeah. It was the new 52 Green Arrow, the first, like, not the first, like the issues that Jeff Lemire wrote were excellent. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And so the villain that costume looks more like that other villain in the comic, and they just changed it into Prometheus, and I'm like, well, that's not Prometheus.
Right.
That just didn't seem right. I this one seems a little bit more mysterious, a little more complicated. You know? I mean, I liked it. Last season I actually had a really hard time finishing Arrow. Near the very last three or four episodes.
Yeah. And actually, I think Arrow has become too monolithic in its villainy. I mean, it's really too big for the Arrow, in my opinion. Some of the villains that he's been up against.
Oh, yeah. Like Damian Dark?
Yeah. Especially Damian Dark.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense.
Right. So, I kind of prefer Deathstroke as a villain for him, which seemed more his size, so to speak. You know, no magic, no superpowers, or, you know, minimal. Mm-hmm. Depends what you consider superpowers, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be looking forward to that. I have Legends on DVR, but my daughter likes The Flash, Supergirl, and Arrow so much, I actually bought the seasons for her. So she doesn't have a TV, so she can watch that.
She can just watch it on CW.
Yeah, but they have commercials, and it's...
I know, that is the problem.
Yeah.
When I sit through it, they're always the same commercials, and I go,
"Yeah,
am I going to buy it? Am I going to buy it? No, I'm not."
Yeah, so I just bought them. We're on a family plan, so I can watch them too.
Yeah.
But after she graduates from grad school, she's on her own. I didn't tell her that yet.
I know. Well, you know, my daughter's trying to be more adult now because she's in grad school, and she got a couple jobs to, you know, this summer to help earn enough money to pay her rent and everything. Yeah. You know, which is, I mean, they all grow up, right?
Yeah. Well, you hope they do, actually, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. hope they do.
Okay, so I'm thinking, I have not seen Arrow yet, but I'm thinking you're giving Arrow a big thumbs up.
I thought it was a much better Arrow than last year. To me, it was better. I thought it was, I think they had to rethink what Arrow was needed to be. And I think it's better that, this is a better, I have high hopes for this season. I think it'd be better than last season.
Now, not to circle around a little bit on the Arrowverse before we move on to the other DC Comics-based shows. You know, if it is Metron that showed up at the end of Flash, it would make a lot of sense. And I kind of like your theory the more I think about it. Because it would allow for the... Aren't they supposed to have like a Crisis kind of crossover this year?
Yes.
And that would...
There's going to be another crossover.
Yeah, so Metron was not the really involved in the Crisis on Infinite Earths that I recall.
No, he was not.
But it would make sense for him to be involved in the Arrowverse version, to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that theory. The more I think about it, and
the way Barry was talking.
Yeah,
because you saw right, and he was saying how the stars are melting and all that.
Right,
it's all doom and gloom, right?
Right.
So it's a foreshadowing of the coming crisis.
Yeah. Well, you know, the weird part is, of course, if they're going to do Crisis on Infinite Earths, Supergirl dies.
Yes. which would be good. No, it would be a good thing if she dies and they brought in Superman. And then she's resurrected like Superman was after Death of Superman.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because that would give them a perfect opportunity to switch it with Tyler Hoechlin. Hoechlin,
yeah.
Right? Like what we're talking about. That would be perfect. That would be awesome.
Well, it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it, although, you know, like I said, I think involving... See, Flash, Supergirl, Legends, Tomorrow... To me, makes sense to be in Crisis. Arrow, it's kind of like out of the league, you know what I mean?
It is.
Arrow should, to me, be a more human show.
I agree. There are too many metahumans in it already.
Yeah. Although it was a good launching point for things like The Flash.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like I still miss the, when Sarah was there, the first Black Canary,
yes.
And how she would use her sonic device versus an actual voice.
Right.
Right? Because the new Black Canary they had from last season, I think, she's a metahuman.
And her name is Dinah.
Yes. Finally. After, like, I don't know how many seasons, I don't know why they always have to give them different names. Why don't you just use the name. Use the name.
Maybe we'll find out that she is a long-lost daughter of Detective Lance, or Captain Lance, whatever he is now.
Wow.
Huh?
Well, he's Deputy Mayor.
Okay.
So but that would be something else if you found that out.
She'd be Dinah Lance.
Wow. That would be a big twist. Or he adopts her,
yeah.
I could see that. But she's kind of old to be adopted.
Yes. Although you can, you know.
Yes, you can.
Okay. The next one is a show that I'm tying in because we were just talking about Arrow, and there is kind of a weird Arrow tie-in. So I know you haven't been watching Gotham. I slammed Gotham a lot, but you know, now that my favorite villainess is gone, I hope for good.
The Fish Mooney. Yeah,
Fish Mooney. I don't even want to see She Who Cannot Be Named.
Oh, but you know, she got paid a pretty penny for that.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I just don't want to see that character anymore.
Yeah, I mean, for Jada Pinkett Smith to be on Gotham, I mean, to get her on even for a few episodes, I'm sure just like cost production like crazy amounts of money.
Right. So I know you're not watching Gotham, and I have to say, last year. I think I really got turned around on Gotham. I gave it another chance. And last year was the, you know, sort of the year of the villains. We saw, in addition to the, you know, Penguin, we saw the Riddler and Mr. Freeze and a whole bunch of classic villains appear. Hugo Strange. This year on Gotham, the really interesting things are is that the Batman mythos is beginning to take form, I think. I think I'm on episode 3 or 4 now. And so far, in the first couple episodes of this season, we've seen Lucius Fox give Bruce Wayne the armored suit, no cape. And Alfred tells Bruce that he needs to wear a cowl to mask his identity. So he's got a cowl now, no ears.
Mm-hmm.
And Selina Kyle is taking lessons on using the whip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
From who?
From, who was,
Azrael's sister?
Azrael's sister, yes, Tabitha, correct.
Oh, okay.
So she is mentoring Selina Kyle.
And I saw that a mile away.
Yeah. And so we see both Batman and Catwoman starting to develop, although they got to bulk up the kid playing Bruce Wayne.
get into the gym, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
protein in you.
But most importantly, Ra's al Ghul has showed up.
No.
Yes. In the flesh.
And is it the same guy in the Arrowverse?
No, it is not.
Okay.
So
it's who is it?
It looks like a completely different... I don't know who the actor is. But it's a completely different universe. And this Ra's has been... They already said this Ra's has been around like 1,000 years.
Oh, okay.
And he is looking for his successor.
So it's not like in Arrowverse where that Ra's really wasn't Ra's.
Right.
He's the guy who took over Ra's.
Right.
Thing. So this is like, you know, this guy must have access to Lazarus Pits.
And we've already seen the pit.
Already?
Yes.
Wow, they don't waste any time.
No.
Did he come out of the pit?
Yes. Wow, they show a guy putting him. He's dying after in a massive battle in like the year 1000 or so, and this guy puts him into the pit and says, "You are now Ra's al Ghul."
Is he an environmentalist?
So far, it's hard to say.
Okay,
haven't seen enough of him to say that he's. All we know is he is a warrior. You know, through and through.
Because that's the thing that, I mean, I wish they would just... I mean, that was his whole point. He was basically an eco-terrorist.
Right.
You know. But all the movies and Arrow have never played that part up.
Right. So,
That sounds interesting. That might get me to watch Gotham.
Yeah. Yeah, just watch the season. You don't have to watch the last season. Really didn't miss much, in my opinion. But I mean, yeah, it was a good season.
I mean, I couldn't get through it. I mean, the most interesting thing was Mad Hatter for me.
Yeah.
You know, that was interesting. But then, you know, the other stuff was like, I don't know. Wasn't that interesting for me. I just couldn't make it through.
So
just like I can't watch Inhumans anymore.
I think I have the same problem.
Did you finish both episodes?
No.
The first two?
I finished the first one.
Did you get through the first one?
Yeah, I did.
Whoa. Wow. And is Lockjaw not the best part of it?
Lockjaw is awesome. If it were just a Lockjaw show, I'd watch it.
They should make it a Lockjaw show. No, really. Lockjaw just goes around the world, and he's almost like the Hulk, right? And Bruce Banner, who's just traveling.
Right.
And he just teleports forever.
Yeah.
And somehow he meets these people, and they go, "Oh, wow, what a big alien dog. Do you need some food?" And then he goes and he ends up helping them.
He'd be like Lassie.
Yes, except he's a mutated dog.
Except he's gigantic and has superpowers.
I would watch that.
You know?
I would watch that. So, I'm serious. Jeff Leb or Loeb, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, the head of like Marvel TV, if you're hearing me, spin him off right now.
The Lockjaw Show. Save your job. Show.
Make a Lockjaw show.
I'd watch
travels around the world helping humans. Not just in humans, but humans.
Humans.
And I would watch that show.
Yeah.
And I bet you it would be a hit. And way you could, bigger than Inhumans.
And you could see some heart-wrenching moments where some little kid, you know, is taking care of Lockjaw, and Lockjaw has to leave, and they're crying. Yes! Right?
Yes! Yes! And then you finally hear him speak.
Yeah. Ruff, I'm sorry. Like Scooby-Doo.
I mean, we're laughing, but I bet you, man, I could watch that show.
We'd be teary-eyed. You know we'd be teary-eyed watching that scene.
Yeah, I mean, he's a CGI dog, and he has the most...
personality.
The most emotion and personality of any character in that show. He's not even real.
Hey, I mean, he's just he's real to me. He's real to me, Jay.
Marvel, right. We're giving you such good free advice.
The Lockjaw Show. Or just Lockjaw.
Marvel TV.
Like Lassie.
Yeah. Lockjaw. Yes, exactly. Lockjaw.
Yeah.
But you know they'll screw up the title. It'd be like Lockjaw, the dog that cares.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You know. I don't know. It's just... To whoever's running that Inhuman show, it's just, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or maybe they could
move Lockjaw to, you know, the Netflix Marvel universe, and he could become Daredevil's dog.
Yes!
He'd be a seeing-eye dog. A really big seeing-eye dog as a cover.
Oh, that would be even more perfect if he shows up in the Netflix universe. The Marvel Netflix universe.
Yep.
And then, he becomes... Matt Murdock's seeing eye dog. You have an Inhuman as a seeing eye dog?
Hey, yes. Why not?
Why not?
He likes
what?
It.
Are you against Inhumans and Inhuman dogs? That would be so awesome. And then if he goes into the Defenders, when they have the next Defenders thing, they all meet together, and then one of them is going to go like, "Nice dog.
Nice doggy."
Where'd you get the dog? Yeah. He just showed up.
Yep. He just popped in.
And he never went away.
Yep. Oh, it'd be a good show.
Oh, man. Marvel TV, listen to us, please.
Lockjaw.
We know how to turn your shows around.
Yep.
We do.
Yep. It appealed to everybody. Kids, senior citizens.
Who doesn't like Lockjaw?
Dog lovers. Right?
Yes. It appeal to everyone.
Yeah. You have to be a heartless person not to like Lockjaw.
Yeah. Even the villains in the Marvel Universe like Lockjaw. Even Maximus couldn't kill Lockjaw.
That's true, isn't it?
Yes. He couldn't kill the dog. Yeah. All he could do was put him to sleep. That's the best he could do.
Yeah. Asleep.
I mean, look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll kill everyone else. Yeah. But not Lockjaw.
Not the dog.
Nope. See what I mean? That character just has so much going for him.
Yep.
That the demented psychopath will even protect him.
Yep. Okay. Now getting back to the DC universe, because although that was a fun detour, and I think we billion dollar franchise for Marvel.
Oh man.
Now
yes.
Now Lucifer, I have not watched at all. Is it something I should watch, Jay?
I don't know. It's not anything like the comic.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't do the comic on regular television. It'd have to be on like HBO or something.
Netflix or something.
Because the comic is a Vertigo comic. It is truly a mature reader's comic. It's demented and messed up. If you ever read Lucifer.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the devil.
Right.
Who comes to Earth, and there's angels and... There's a lot of blasphemous things in it. I mean, from a Christian point of view, it's a very good comic, but it's hard to take. I mean, I borrow it from the library and I've read some of the collected editions, right. But I can't make it through like too many of them because it's like, it's just, I mean, it's really a mature reader's book.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's, I personally think Lucifer would benefit from a shorter season.
Mm.
Like most shows, to be honest.
Mm.
Like, I thought that of Arrow last year. I thought it was just drawn out way too long. Even, like, Flash, I thought it was... The whole Savitar thing just got to be too long.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, I really think that Lucifer would benefit from maybe a 13-episode run or 10-episode run.
Right.
Because the story would be tighter, and you don't feel all these episodes are trying to draw things out.
Right.
But I think this season is better. I mean, basically, Lucifer really is, he's the devil.
Okay.
And he decides to quit being the ruler of hell, come mm-hmm. to Earth, mm-hmm. opens up a nightclub in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
cut off his wings, and you know, but he still has powers.
Right.
But the gimmick with it is that he befriends a police detective, LAPD
mm-hmm.
police detective, and then becomes her consultant on cases.
Hmm.
So think of Monk.
Monk, okay, which I enjoyed a lot.
But with a supernatural being and not that funny.
Oh.
It's very dramatic.
Okay.
The funny parts are the way Lucifer acts, because he's the devil, he's very narcissistic, everything is about him and everything. But Lucifer is about redeeming the devil, which is interesting. And the thing that's interesting about it is that in the Lucifer universe, he doesn't make anyone do anything bad.
Hmm.
Because everything's free choice.
Hmm.
And that then the souls who went to hell, because he complains about it. Why does everyone say it's my fault? It's not my fault. Hmm. He gave everyone free choice. They chose to be evil, not me.
Hmm.
You know, or it's not because of me.
Hmm.
And so he tries to do good on Earth, right? Even though he actually is the devil, because he has this attraction to this detective. And the gimmick of the show is that whenever he's around the detective, he doesn't have his superpowers.
Say that
like
again?
Yeah. What? So he's like supernatural.
Right.
Even though he lives on Earth.
Right.
So he's an immortal. Right.
Because
he's like he's Lucifer.
Right.
He has super strength.
Right.
And he can't be killed.
Right.
I mean, you can shoot him, stab him, whatever. Nothing happens to him, and he can draw out your innermost desire, and that's the thing he does in the show. He goes to the criminals and say, that's how he helps the one of the ways he helps the detective. He's like, tell me what is your greatest desire, and then they tell him, and it's usually something opposite of what you think it's going to be. I mean, it's kind of like the running joke with the show.
Hmm.
And then always he's helping on the cases, but he always does these things to screw up the cases, but in the end actually ends up helping solve the case.
Yeah.
By him being himself and being just self-centered and egotistical and narcissistic.
Right.
And not having the most, he doesn't make the most ethical or moral decisions.
Right.
But at the end, he ends up helping the detective solve the case.
Huh.
And there's an angel in it.
Right.
You know,
well, like... Technically, Lucifer's a fallen angel, right? So,
yeah, but there's actually an angel in it.
Oh, an actual angel, a good guy.
Yeah,
or gal.
And that the first season was about that angel trying to get him to go back to hell because now he's in charge of hell and he hates it.
So, right? An angel kind of got a field promotion / demotion, and.
Yeah, because he's you know, he's like, go back to hell because. Lucifer gave up his duties,
right,
of ruling hell and punishing souls, which is what he loves to do.
Right.
But since he quit, and God can't, everything has free will, right?
Right.
So he can't force him to stay. I guess he could if he really wanted to, but that's not free will. So he ends up assigning an angel to look over hell.
Wow.
Because someone's got to.
That's a concept.
But now he ends up, you know, being on Earth. And so the angel gets corrupted.
The previously good angel.
The previously good angel gets corrupted because he's on Earth.
Wow.
And he's exposed to these different things. And his desire to send Lucifer back causes him to lie and, you know, do these other things.
Oh, wow.
Right. And so and then you see, then there's a demon that hangs out with Lucifer as like his bodyguard or whatever, not that he needs one, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought the first season was a little more ominous. And it's got to a little bit lighter in some ways. And then last season they brought in his mom.
His mom?
Yes. So what it is right, there's God, right? Who's his dad. And he's always railing against his father and says, why did you punish me? Why did you punish me for all eternity just because I made that one mistake?
Right.
Right. And, you know, and then it's like, you know, he thinks dad's out to get him. It's all messed up. And he's trying to get revenge upon God or doesn't care about God. No, wants nothing to do with God and all that kind of stuff. But in the Lucifer universe, there was a goddess. Right.
Right.
And then God banished her to hell.
Oh, wow. He is not a nice man.
Well, God, right?
Yeah.
He's not a nice entity, right?
Yeah.
And so, in the second season, she escapes hell.
Oh.
And Lucifer, her son, right? All the angels are her children, right?
Right.
Even the demons, because they were fallen angels.
Right.
They were afraid that she was going to come and, like, kill Lucifer because he tortured her for beginning of time, right?
Wow. Okay.
Because she was sent to hell to be punished.
Right.
You know.
And that was his job.
And that was his job.
Yeah.
And he took his job very seriously. And the other thing that's interesting is that, which is different from what you think of as the typical, portrayal of Lucifer or of the devil, he never lies.
Wow.
He always tells the truth. He says, I don't lie. I always tell the truth. That's what that's one of the other things. They try to flip that on its head, you know. But it doesn't mean he's good.
Right. Just means he doesn't lie.
Yes. He tells the truth. And that's part of the humor sometimes and part of the tension, because he just comes right out.
Right.
He says things that are offensive or don't make sense.
He has no filters.
No, he has no filters. And because he'll go, like, you know, he'll do something, and then, like, the detective has a kid, right? And then he'll say something, and I don't know if this really happened in the episode, but it's almost like this, like, he'll eat her breakfast. Or something like that, right? And that was for Trixie, and it's like, I'm not sure if that really happened in the episode, but that's kind of what it would be like. Well, I was hungry.
Yeah.
I was hungry, and the food was there, so I ate it.
Yeah.
Right, so that's just how he is.
Okay, I think it's on Netflix. I think I'll give it a try one of these days.
Yeah, I mean, the problem I have with it is basically a police procedural show that has elements of the supernatural.
Right.
You know, and only lightly.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, I think the most interesting episodes are the ones where he's really dealing with his morality and humanity.
Mm-hmm.
When he's human. When he doesn't have his powers, and when he reveals his true self to people, right? Because he doesn't have, he looks a certain way because he makes himself look that way because through his power.
So it sounds kind of like the Dresden Files, if you remember that.
Is there a devil in that?
There's no devil, but the detective is a magician because magic exists in the world.
Yes. I remember that. I watched that. I love that show.
Right. And in fact, the actor who plays Detective Lance was the star of that show.
Yeah, I saw it on, it was on Netflix, and I watched the whole thing, and I thought, wow, where's the next episode? And Emil was saying, oh, man, it got canceled.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, I actually really enjoyed that show. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was a good show.
You know?
Okay. So moving on. Last two things are shows, our DC Comics-based shows that are not yet launched. But should be launched this coming spring season. I don't know when. One is Krypton, which is a prequel to Superman.
Did you see the trailer?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I liked it. I thought, I have high hopes for that one.
I have the opposite feeling. I'm like,
Oh, really? I was excited. I was excited by it. If they do it right, they can have what is it called, Black Zero? Or...
Yeah.
They can have all these things about Krypton if they do it right. That would make it so interesting. Yeah.
But the other thing is that it's not going to be in any shared universe because it's on the Sci-Fi channel, right?
Yeah.
So to me, that's the, you know, I kind of don't see the point of it. One, I don't see the point of it. On the other hand, it can't damage continuity in the existing shows that we watch.
Yeah, which is good.
Which is okay, I guess. Okay, and
I just hope it's not like another Caprica.
Oh, yeah, gosh. That was such a disappointment. So much promise, so little delivered.
You know, the first episode was pretty good, and then it was like, whoa. It just kind of dropped off really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
The last item is Black Lightning, which I never really got into that character. I know you really like that comic book.
I did.
So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I like that they brought his children in it because he has children in the comics,
mm-hmm.
and they have powers. Mm-hmm. But he has one child in the comics. I don't mm-hmm. remember if he has two, but I thought that was good that they brought that in, and that what they did is. What you're going to see in the show is when he's older, right? So what the preview I saw had a version of him when he was younger,
mm-hmm.
and then the version that we're actually really going to see is he comes back, mm-hmm. right? Something happens to him when he's young, and he decides to give it up, right?
Yeah,
and then he something happens in the present time, and then he resurrects his Black Lightning persona, and right. then his children also gain their powers.
Yeah.
You know. But is it part of the Arrowverse? I still couldn't figure that out.
I don't know. Let me do a quick look while we get ready to... Black Lightning TV show? Let's see. Black Lightning TV show. Well, let's use Wikipedia, lacking any other information. It's going to be on the CW.
Yeah, but I was wondering if it was like another Supergirl where it's in a different universe.
Ah. I'm kind of looking it up now. Development. Blah, blah, blah. Ordering Black Lightning. It doesn't say.
Yeah. I haven't been able to figure that out. I had heard that it's in a separate universe, but then I couldn't get confirmation. It was like in passing in some place that I read, but I was like, really? It's on CW and it's the same. It's still the Berlanti. It's Berlanti, right?
Right, it is.
So I'm like, why would he make it a separate universe unless DC forced him to?
Yeah.
You know? Like, Supergirl, it made sense because it was on a totally different network.
Right.
But now, when they brought a CW, they can make it part of the same universe. I mean, that would be way more interesting if they made it part of the same universe.
Mm.
That'd be awesome.
I don't see anything that indicates one way or another.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out later when it comes out.
We will find out. I'm just looking for this projected start date, too, but I don't see it. It's just next year.
Ooh.
Yep. It will premiere in 2018. That's all it says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. So that we've just gone through the DC Universe Fall 2017 launch. Going backwards, I would give Gotham a thumbs up. I'm really happy to see Batman's proto-Batman finally emerge. Although I think the actor needs to go to the gym.
Yeah, I got to bulk up, bro.
Yeah.
Got to bulk up.
And it sounds like Lucifer is something I might want to take a look at, so... If it's still on Netflix, I'll go take a look at that. Okay, Jay, so that's it. Comic Zoot Podcast number 93. DC Universe, we'll talk to you next time.